Welcome to the Slay and Thrive podcast, where we make crushing your goals feel like self-care. This is the show that helps high-energy women trapped in self-destructive patterns cultivate an unapologetic, loving body transformation through spiritual and personal development. On this podcast, you'll learn about dynamic eating psychology principles, mindset, shadow integration, and manifestation. I'm your host, Kayla Van Egdom, a health and energy guide, unicorn lover, and Amazon best-selling author. I am so delighted to be on this journey with you. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to an episode of the show where we are going to be slaying. We're going to be talking about goal achievement. We're going to talk about how to make all the progress. We're going to dive into what it looks like to have a level of follow through and momentum and consistency like you've never had before. As we're in the beginning of the new year, ending Capricorn season, I wanted to lean into the natural energy of this time with an episode that I know will make a huge difference in your life. It doesn't matter what your goals are. This episode is going to serve you no matter what. This was something I had a huge epiphany about a few months ago, and I knew I wanted to do an episode at some point. Now is the time. Today, I'm going to talk about how you can take your progress to the next level by avoiding this one thing that demolishes your discipline like nothing else. Yes, that is a dramatic way to put it, and it's also true. This one thing will destroy your discipline. It will erode your self-trust and your confidence. It'll put you into a cycle of stopping and starting, a cycle of feeling like you're redoing the same work over and over again. You know, we talked about that last week, but it's a big challenge people encounter, so it bears repeating. None of this is fun. And when you learn how to naturally avoid this one thing, here's what you can expect. Here's what we're creating today. More self-trust. We're creating a renewed sense of personal power and agency. We're creating progress that happens more steadily, more reliable. And you're also going to experience more ease because you have more natural access to the discipline required to make change in your daily life. So today you're going to learn what one thing you must avoid. You want to take your progress and achievement to the next level. You're going to learn how to know if this one thing is sabotaging your results. You're going to learn why tackling this obstacle can accelerate your momentum, regardless of what your goals are, as well as the solutions for tackling this one big obstacle. Okay, without further ado, because I've been building this up, what is this one thing that demolishes your discipline like nothing else? Weak, unclear boundaries. We can be talking about boundaries with other people, but the main thing I wanted to talk about was unclear boundaries with yourself and why this is such an important obstacle to tackle. When we want to achieve something, it's going to require some boundaries. If you want to achieve a financial goal, say you want to pay off debt or save up for something big, you're probably going to set boundaries around spending and saving. You can't just run to Sage and spend $200 on essential oils when you're trying to save for a large purchase like a car or a home. I've never done that, by the way. Never. That's not my favorite store. Anyways, you want to set some boundaries around your spending. If you have a creative project or some kind of big business goal you're working on, you'll want to set boundaries around your time. Time boundaries are probably some of the most powerful because our time is a finite resource and we only have so much of it. If you say yes to too many things without knowing what your time and energy boundaries are, you might find you're not making progress towards the thing you want to achieve on a consistent basis. If you have a health or weight loss goal, there's probably different kinds of boundaries you can set. There could be time boundaries, so you have the ability to train and rest and get an adequate amount of sleep. You might also benefit from having some clear, conscious boundaries around nutrition and food choices. This doesn't mean you have to have some crazy rigid plan or follow anyone else's macro breakdown, nothing like that. This looks like tapping into your own personal wisdom around what boundaries will benefit you most. These are standards you hold yourself to because they matter to you, because they make progress inevitable to you, and they also help you feel your best. There's a few ways to know if weak, unclear boundaries are sabotaging your results and your progress. First way to know is you're dissatisfied with your rate of progress. Maybe progress feels painfully slow, or like you're in a pattern of two steps forward, one step back, or even two steps forward, one and a half steps back. You might also find yourself trying to do too many things to achieve your goals without being sure which of these things are making the biggest impact. Finally, another way to tell if this is an obstacle for you is if you're listening to this and thinking about it in relation to your goals, and you have no idea what your boundaries are. You aren't sure what your time boundaries are, your financial boundaries, or your nutrition boundaries if you have a health goal. You aren't sure what some of your boundaries are, and you're experiencing confusion about what's working or not working, and you're also dissatisfied with the rate of your progress. If all of these are true for you, or even if just one or two of them are true, you're going to want to keep listening. There's a few reasons why you want to focus on creating clear, strong boundaries. Number one, boundaries are going to create a container for you to make more progress. They help you eliminate decision fatigue. Because if certain things are boundaries, you've already decided in advance. You don't have to talk yourself into or out of something when you've set a boundary around it, which frees up your energy, your mental energy, to do more important things. I also believe boundaries can keep you from experiencing emotions like resentment and frustration. This is so important because it's often these types of emotions that will lead to what we call self-sabotage. Sometimes the heated emotion of resentment or frustration can feel like too much in the moment. So we eat or overspend or start scrolling instead of doing the walk or workout we planned. I'm going to give you a few examples of how boundaries can keep you from experiencing resentment as an example of one emotion you might want to avoid. Say you have a family member who likes to show up unannounced, giving you no advance warning. If you resent when they do this and you want to have some notice before they show up, but you don't have a boundary around it, you haven't set that boundary with them, so they keep doing it. You're going to feel resentment. You're also going to find it harder to create boundaries around your time if this person in your life feels like this is okay to do. If you know you have a time boundary where you set aside X number of minutes or hours on the weekend to do something and you put it into a certain block, but then, oh my goodness, this person just showed up. There goes your time boundary, right? By setting a firm, clear boundary, and stating, for example, that you need 24 hours notice about upcoming visits, you've created structure in that relationship. And ideally, this person is going to honor that boundary. And if they don't, There's obviously some other work that you might have to do, but ideally they're going to honor that boundary. And now you have some structure that's going to eliminate unnecessary resentment. This is also important when it comes to boundaries with yourself. And I had this big epiphany about this in my own life, and I had it both surrounding relationships and surrounding the relationship I have with myself and my goals. I recently discovered I have a pattern of having unclear boundaries with those around me and not always expressing my needs clearly. There's this part of me that wants to please everyone and feels like if I set boundaries or express my needs, especially if they potentially inconvenience others, I am being a bitch. I am being selfish. I am being a bad person. So I don't set boundaries. I don't express needs. And this has, on occasion, not just a few occasions, on many occasions, led to me getting angrier and angrier and more resentful with certain people in my life, unbeknownst to them most of the time. And I let it build up until I often get to the point where I end the relationship instead of trying to set boundaries in advance. Not my finest thing to admit, but I feel like admitting it is how you heal it. And I am all about being fully honest. So this pattern has happened for me in working relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, all the relationships. And it hasn't served me. And it's probably caused unnecessary fallouts because the people in question I've ended the relationship with often have no idea why I'm so angry or why I want to end the relationship. And that's because I didn't declare my needs and boundaries in the first place. I literally had a previous partner tell me that they were blindsided when I wanted to end the relationship. That was the word they used, blindsided. And this was after months and months of me seething on the inside and being unhappy in the relationship. As I grow and evolve, I realize this isn't fair to those around me. And it's also not serving me because it just creates unnecessary bitterness and resentment. Then I also realized how often I play out the same pattern in my own life when it comes to my goals. There are still places where I haven't fully defined particular boundaries. And because certain boundaries aren't fully defined, I'll often show up in ways that don't align with my goals and who I want to be. So what I do is I break my own weak, undefined boundaries, at least on a subconscious level, or I want them to be boundaries. And then I'll go through these mini periods of time where I check out of the relationship with myself. I almost give up on myself and my goals a little bit. And I'll sort of self-abandon for a day or two, maybe a week, and then I have to regroup and re-engage. And I share this because this is a key example of the self-sabotage cycle. I want you to ask yourself, is this what's going on for you? Do you have weak, unclear boundaries in an area where you want something to be a boundary, but it's not because you keep breaking that boundary with yourself? And then you go through these periods where you give up, disengage, self-abandon for a little while. And if that's you, just know that you're not alone and this is common. When I realized this, I realized so much of this could be avoided if I zeroed in on a few core boundaries and made them specific and actually upheld them as boundaries. Because something isn't a boundary when you only uphold it some of the time. If you have a boundary with your spouse where you aren't available for them to call you names, but you let them do it when they've had a hard day of work, it's not really a boundary, right? This led to me realizing I had to set some clearer, firmer boundaries with myself surrounding my health and fitness goals. Often we don't need an excessive amount of boundaries in place to make progress. We just have to choose the right boundaries to put into place and then make those a true boundary, a true priority. And these three that I am working on in the season of life. And again, they aren't fully boundaries yet because they're still work in progress, but I'm getting closer and closer. So the big one, and I swear I've talked about this before, and I don't know why it's always a thing, green tea instead of coffee. And it's one that I have wrestled with on and off, and I've decided that no, this needs to be a boundary. I have green tea in the morning, not coffee. Still have to figure out what this would look like on a coffee date because I have these maybe like once every 2 months. So do I treat myself to a coffee then or do I continue having tea? But for my everyday, when I'm just on my way to work or working on stuff in my office, green tea, not coffee. There's multiple reasons why I want this to be a boundary. The first is that I put sugar and cream in my coffee, and I always find that this makes my hunger levels higher and my mood less stable as the day progresses. There's all kinds of reasons why scientifically that this is. I won't bore you with that. Science is one thing, but my own experience has revealed this to be the case. Well, and the second reason I want to do green tea instead of coffee is I don't want to have that much caffeine in my morning drink when I've already had pre-workout before my workout. And the green tea I have is basically a few little flakes of green tea in every bag, but it's mostly little pieces of popped brown rice. It's basically the tea you have at sushi restaurants, which I love. And I don't put sugar in it because it has such a good flavor on its own. And because it's only got these little flakes of green tea, not very many, it's going to have way less caffeine than coffee. Going to be honest, probably never going to give up caffeine altogether. And I also acknowledge it's a powerful substance. I want to have a boundary around how much I consume in a day. Second boundary is mindful eating. So no phones, no books, and most importantly, nothing in front of a TV. Is actually a boundary I'm pretty good at upholding at this point because I've been working on it for so long. But it's one that makes such a big difference, I remind myself of regularly. And when I remind myself of it regularly, there's different levels to mindful eating. You can sit at a table without distractions, still be kind of distracted and less mindful as you're eating. Or you can remind yourself that the more present and mindful you are for that meal and you take in everything and delight in your senses, another level of mindfulness. And that's the one that I want to create a new standard around. And the third boundary is deciding what to eat for the day in advance, first thing in the morning. And usually that's going to be three meals and a snack if I'm working, and then just three meals on the weekend because I'm not as active, generally need less fuel. This does look a little different on Saturday because I do my long run and I go into hobbit mode and have a breakfast and then a second breakfast, but that's the fuel I need for that particular day. The key here is that I decide in advance, and this eliminates extra snacks and indulgences. I just want to share that to give you a few examples of what this could look like. Now, I want you to think about this with respect to your own goals. Where are you struggling with weak, unclear boundaries? From here, your sleigh challenge is to set 1 to 3 clear, defined boundaries related to your goal that you know if you were to honor these boundaries day in and day out, you would become unstoppable and you would make the progress you desired. As you're going through this for yourself, I want you to be mindful of three things. Number one, trying to set too many boundaries at once. That's why I challenge you to do one or three of them. You also have to be mindful of creating unrealistic boundaries. You want to meet yourself where you're at. You can always work up to stronger boundaries later, but if a certain boundary is outside of your baseline and you couldn't imagine holding it, it's too much to start with. So, if I'd been drinking 4 cups of coffee a day, Maybe going straight to one cup of green tea in the morning would have been too much. That would have been an unrealistic boundary. But if that had been my life situation and I wanted to create boundaries around caffeine, maybe I would set a boundary of only having two cups and having them before noon. These boundaries also need to be things you can uphold day in and day out, not just on weekends or weekdays. If you do have a special occasion where you plan to break a certain boundary, for example, I'm still wrestling with the coffee shop one and figuring out what the most aligned exception is to make for that. But I don't have any coffee dates coming up, so I'll get to that when I get to it. So when you have a special occasion where you might step outside of a boundary, you want to decide that it's worth it in advance and make the conscious decision to do it in advance so you're not having a knee-jerk reaction, and remind yourself that it's an outlier, not the norm. Third thing I want you to be mindful of is creating joyless boundaries that are created from a place of have to and should. You don't have to set these boundaries. You could listen to this, decide it's the dumbest thing you've ever listened to, and never give it a second thought. And you also aren't forced to do this. You want to remember that you have the power and you're choosing to set some boundaries because you want to. You're setting these boundaries because your goal matters to you, because you know this will help you free up your brain and eliminate decision fatigue. And when your brain is freed up, you can also find more ways to play and have fun and enjoy the journey towards your goals. It's all about keeping this perspective when you're creating these boundaries. When you dial in a few strong, clear, impactful boundaries, there is no telling what you're going to be able to create for the rest of the month and beyond. Until next time, happy slaying and thriving.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the show. If you want to connect with a community of other amazing women who are conquering their goals, taking massive action, and loving themselves through the process, I invite you to join my Facebook community, Slay and Thrive 365. You'll get weekly challenges, motivation, support, and accountability as you move towards your goals. Hope to see you there very soon.